Have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11. Good to see all of you here tonight. And let me remind you again, let's pray. Don't forget to put your prayer requests up on the prayer wall. And looks like we have a few people waiting for someone to pray for them. So remember our responsibility. Pick up one of those cards, take it with you, and pray for those people. Let's try to clear the board tonight on our way out. And that way we'll be ready for Wednesday night and the days ahead. So you walked by faith in 2017, you must walk by faith in 2018. So I want to talk to us tonight. I want us to go back to Abraham. We looked at this 2 weeks ago, however many weeks ago we were together. And we looked at the life of Abraham and how he walked by faith. And so Hebrews 11 is where we'll go. What does the Bible say? We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by what we see. What we see is not always what we want to put our confidence in. What we see is sometimes different from what God has designed for us. And tonight what I want to do is I want to read Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read several verses, and then we're going to look at two verses in particular, verses 9 and 10. And I want to comment just on what the Bible says about, what the book of Hebrews says about Abraham as he lived his life of faith. And then I want to take from Abraham and give you three observations about our walk of faith in 2018. You started by faith when you came to know Jesus. You walk by faith until the day the Lord takes you home. So we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11 says, let's begin in verse number 1. Remember what the Bible says about what is faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So it's assurance and conviction. Notice again, faith is assurance of something hoped for, something coming that's not yet happened. And faith is the conviction of what you can't see. For by it, the men of old gained approval, and that is approval from God. Verse number 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Then we come back to what we saw 2 weeks ago in verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. By going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And then we read tonight, and this is our focus. By faith, Abraham lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he, that is Abraham, was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Heavenly Father, help us tonight as we gather here in this special place. And as we think about what your word has to say to us, as we hear these words and we think about our walk of faith, we live by faith. Lord, help us to understand that faith is assurance and conviction. It's assurance of what's coming that you promised. It's based on sure promises. And it's conviction about what we don't see. Others may laugh. Others may think that we are silly and foolish because we have faith and believe. We believe in the unseen which is yet to come. We thank you for the examples that we have in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11, that teach us and remind us of how we're to walk by faith in 2018. We ask that this year might be a year, and all the days we have, however many of those days may be, if it's a full year, if it's a part of a year, however many days you give us to live, may we tonight be challenged, no matter how long we've known Jesus, to live this year with full assurance in your promises and also with conviction that what we don't see, we someday will see. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us through these who have gone before us, and we thank you that we have a like faith with them. May my words honor Jesus tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now, let's go back. There are three verbs. I'm going to do a little bit more technical talk than I would generally do on a Sunday morning, but there are three verbs in verse 9 and 10. Three verbs, and we all took grammar. Wasn't English your favorite subject in school? Don't answer that out loud, or teachers will be upset with you. But you know, in grammar you learn verbs. Oh, the verb, it's the action word. It's when you're, there are actions that take place. So you see three verbs that describe Abraham's faith. Faith is active. Faith responds. Notice we saw last week, Abraham obeyed. By faith he obeyed. We trust and obey. Trust and obey. We know that old song, trust and obey. Our faith leads to obedience and following God. But now, notice the first verb, by faith he lived. If you take notes, actually the word is better translated, he migrated. Now that's an interesting word for us tonight. I'm trying to use some different words with us to trigger in our minds some different thoughts. He migrated like an immigrant. Oh, we hear a lot about immigrants these days. He migrated. Follow this now. By faith, he lived. He migrated. He lived as an alien. That's the way that the English Bible tries to translate this word. It's a word to migrate. He migrated in a foreign land, but it was the land promised to him. So first, he migrated. Second, you see the verb in verse 9. He dwelled, and it's a present verb, he dwelling in tents. He migrated to the land of promise as a foreign land. It wasn't his yet. And then he dwelled, he lived, he sojourned, he was, this is the words I want to use, he was a temporary resident. A tent is not a permanent dwelling. A tent tells you this person is a temporary resident. Whether you take your temp on a camping trip or not, you're a temporary resident. Notice this, he was a temporary resident, but he had a promised inheritance. Look at this, this is very important. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. An inheritance that was going to be theirs, given by God, based on God's promise. So, first verb, he migrated out of his land, his home, his comfort, all of his people. He migrated away from his land, the land that he knew and was familiar with, and he became a temporary resident. And then look at verse 10, the last verb. He was looking. The word is actually the word, he was waiting. He was waiting. He was hoping. He was looking. He was looking for the city of God. Abraham was looking for the city of God. So this patriarch, this one, so many years back, we go to the book of Genesis in the earliest of times. We don't know how God spoke to him. It just simply says that God spoke to Abraham and told him, take up all your family, take up everything here, and go. Go to the place that I will give you. And we read last week, he went not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stepped forward and he migrated out to become a temporary resident. And then while he was a temporary resident, an immigrant, a migrant, he kept looking for the city of God. Every place his foot would go on those grounds, all the dust that would come up from the ground, he looked, he kept looking, he kept watching, he kept waiting for the city of God. He kept waiting to see and to find and to go to the city whose foundations and architect and builder was not any man, not any tribe of people, but who was God. So how does this affect us in our faith? Well, I have three observations for you tonight, and I'll be fairly brief because I want us to pray tonight. I want you to notice, first of all, when we think about our faith in following Jesus, our faith leads us to migrate from the world to a promised new place. We leave the world. So all of us in here who have named the name of Jesus, whenever you were born again, whenever you, as we say in Baptist world, whenever you got saved, wherever that was, whenever, however old you were, you became a migrant. You migrated from the world's system, the world's values, the world's priorities. You migrated by faith. You stepped away from the world based on the promises of God to follow the Lord Jesus and to think about a new place. You live by new promises given by the Lord. Promises that are made about change in your own life. Promises about what is ahead. Promises about the coming of Jesus. Promises about a new place, a place that we cannot fathom. I tried to comment on it this morning. How can a preacher, how can a teacher, how can any of us who have not yet been and seen with our own eyes that glorious place of heaven, how can we describe it? We only have the Bible to do it, and we do the best we can. But first of all tonight, I want to remind you, you're a spiritual migrant. Pat and I had the privilege for living many years in California and really thought we would never live anywhere else. You do what God tells you to do. And we are, and we're happy to be here, but we also have wonderful memories, dear friends, and great have great experiences and thoughts about California, which is such an unusual place in the United States, just like every place is. But there we had large numbers still to this day. The issue is with immigration and with migrant workers. Those migrant workers would come. They didn't know the language. They didn't know where to find. They didn't know the best places to go and eat. They migrated together in families, and they would work the fields of the Central Valley of California, which extends from Bakersfield, California, clear up past, on up above Sacramento a little bit, which is a massive, massive Central Valley in California where there's so much grown, and they grow crops year-round because of the climate. An amazing place. The migrant didn't fit in with all of us Americans. The migrant didn't speak the same language. The migrants were excluded for the most part, looked at as total outsiders, but they picked the crops. They collected and gathered all that. They did work on the buildings, and they built buildings in much of California, much of Texas, and other places in the United States have been built by migrant workers. Abraham was a migrant. He left as a migrant because God promised him another land. We leave the world. We migrate away from the world, but we're still in it. We're still alive. So what do? We live by faith, church. This is what I'm trying to get to. Our challenge is to live by faith while we're still here in this world. Abraham had the same challenge. He was promised the land, but he walked all over it. But it was always a foreign land, but it was the land of promise to come later. And by faith, he believed the promises of God and migrated to a new place looking for something special, a city of God. So number one, think about tonight. You're a part of a migration. Our generation's a part of a migration. since the preaching of the cross of Jesus, since the resurrection of Jesus, since Pentecost, the gospel continues to be preached around the world. We think about where Charlie and Betty represent. They're an example for us of what missionaries are doing all over the world and what believers are doing all over the world. They're sharing the gospel. The gospel's being preached, and people are saying goodbye to the old world and stepping forward, repenting of their sins, confessing the Lord Jesus, and migrating to a place they don't know anything about, to a world and an experience that they would not know. Remember this. When you came to know Jesus, you had no idea of all the things that would happen as a result of following Jesus. Now here you are, all these years later. But you still have to walk by faith. Our faith life starts, we trust the Lord by faith to be saved, and we walk by faith until the Lord takes us home. Secondly, our faith leads us to live as temporary residents in the world with a promised inheritance. I hope you got all of that. These are long statements, but they're all my words are important. Our faith, I said, first of all, leads us to migrate from the world to a promised new place. Second, our faith leads us to live. Here we are. Here we are living in Dixon, Tennessee, or these surrounding areas. Our faith leads us to live as temporary residents in this world with a promised inheritance. So let's go to a very familiar passage. And if you have your copy of God's Word, go over there with me, 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter reminds us of this wonderful truth that as we walk by faith, we have an inheritance. You know, I had a friend, I think I've mentioned this to you before. I lived with a fellow in my years at Oklahoma Baptist University, and he lived off of a large family inheritance. And it was just interesting how I felt about trying to get along and get by, and how he felt about getting along and getting by. Bob didn't have a lot of concerns about the things I had concerns about. I'm not complaining. I'm just simply making an observation. He was living off of a promised inheritance. He got some of it before he was at the age of 21. When he got to 21, you know, it was that kind of an inheritance. He was a blessed young man. Something about that inheritance gave him security. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying here. So we walk by faith in these uncertain times, but we walk by faith, as I say here, just like Abraham, as temporary residents. I know you didn't, I don't think anybody here left your tent to come up here to church. You might have, I don't know. But though we don't live in a real tent, we are temporary residents, but we have a permanent promised inheritance. Remember what Peter said to us? You know these words. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, which is undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. Don't you like that tonight, church? Don't you like that? We live with a promised inheritance. We live for something that is beyond this world, an inheritance that is ours, that we share with all of God's people. We share this inheritance, this wonderful, rich inheritance that is reserved for us in heaven. And finally, our faith causes us to keep looking for the city of God. So Abraham, verse 10, was looking, he was waiting for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. I want you to go on down here in Hebrews 11 to verse number 16. And as Paul, I believe, is the writer of Hebrews, as he's talking about these that he's mentioned who walk by faith, in verse 13 he says, all these died in faith without receiving the promise. But having seen them, having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own, and indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Oh, the city of God. The city of God. There's something that draws us from this world. You know, after you live in this, what's our old hymn say? I got a group of people who are very familiar here on a Sunday night. And the things of this world grow, what does it say? Strangely dim. Isn't that the way it says it? In the light of His, I got it, Jack. Let me finish over here. In the light of His glory and grace. But notice, when you're walking and looking at Jesus and you're following Him and you're seeking to follow the Lord, by faith you're walking in this world that is so pitiful and so broken. The longer you live for Jesus, the less all of these things matter. Isn't that true? The things of this world, we look at them and we think, why did I think this mattered so much? The things of this world grow strangely dim. You see, there's something that draws us upward. Our faith keeps calling us up. And God has prepared a city. You know what's interesting about the book of Hebrews? The book of Hebrews says that as a follower of Jesus, we've already experienced and are a part of the unseen city of God, even though we're not there yet. Did you know that? Look in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse number 18. For you have not come to a mountain that cannot be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness and gloom, and to the blasts of trumpets, and the sound of which sounds, they begged no further to be spoken to them, for they could not bear. But notice what it says in verse 22. Listen, I'm trying to encourage you tonight, but you have come, follower of Jesus, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the myriads of angels. How do we describe these things in language we can understand? To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. You have come to those enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And you have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. There's a city, the city of God, our Father who's in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The city of God. Why, Abraham was looking every time he pitched his tent, every time he walked across that old desert ground, every time he walked around as a stranger in the land of promise with the promise of God ringing in his ears, and by faith trusting the Lord that He would give him the promises he had, he was looking for the city that God would build, not for anything that man would make. You see, we're past the man-made, church. We're past the man-made. When you migrated by faith to follow Jesus, Jesus said, follow me. And He's taking you now on a new journey to a place that you have not seen, that you do not understand, but to a place that is promised to you and an inheritance that will be yours forever. I call you now as we close to think about this city. Great cities are all around the world. You can name them just like I can. New York City, Los Angeles. Go around the world. Think of the cities around the world. Think of these great cities and all the resources and all the people and all of the things that are shared there by them. But we read in the book of Revelation, Revelation 21, in verse 10, He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. And then read with me in verse 22. I saw no temple in the city of God, for the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it in the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and honor of the nations into the city of God, and nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The city of God, suspended between heaven and earth, the New Jerusalem, in all of its glory, in all that we can see, in John's ability, even in the Spirit, to write these things. We look for something that's not seen, but yet we've come to the invisible city. We are gathered and connected to those who are in that place tonight. And we experience the same faith that they have experienced. And all of these, the book of Hebrews said, died without obtaining the promise. You know, many, many have died without Jesus coming again. And yet we pray, come Lord Jesus. We may die without the promise being fulfilled, but the promise will one day be fulfilled, just as the children of Israel gathered and received the land of promise. The promises of God are true to the end. Would you agree? What God promises, He finishes. So tonight, I want to encourage you in your faith. What will your life be like in 2018? What will you have to face? What will you have to endure? I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. But I do know this, that a long time ago in my life, and for many of you, we migrated and stepped away from the world and said, the world's not my home anymore. I'm following Jesus. And to follow Jesus, I must follow Jesus by faith. Wherever He leads, I will go. I'll follow my Christ who loved me so. Our faith calls us to live as migrants, as temporary residents with the promise of a new inheritance that will be ours, reserved in heaven. It's reserved tonight in heaven. The inheritance is secure. Jesus' death secured our inheritance. So rejoice by faith. Live without worry. Rejoice that God is with you no matter what you face. You see, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. A city. A city. A city like no other city. An eternal city. Assurance of things hoped for. And the conviction of things not seen. So, Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads tonight, we thank You for the example of Abraham, the patriarch. We have no idea what the experience was like for Abraham, but one day You called us out. Lord, I think about the people who are in this room, young and old alike. We were somewhere and we heard the Holy Spirit calling us to be saved. We heard the Lord calling us to be born again. And then we heard you say, follow me. Lord, how I pray that this year, more than anything else, we would walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, we trust too much in what we see. We trust in the wrong things. Forgive us when we trust by sight and we do not walk by faith. Help us as a church, help us as a people, help us in our families to teach our children and our grandchildren to walk by faith, to have the assurance of the promises that are given and the conviction that though we do not see the city of God and the promises of heaven and the beauty of heaven yet, we believe and we pray, come Lord Jesus. Now while our heads are bowed, let's pause for just a moment. Perhaps the Lord has been speaking to you tonight in some specific way. Perhaps He's been speaking to